Turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 7, the Gospel of John chapter 7. I want to thank Brother Mark for the wonderful introduction this morning. He did very well with that. I appreciate that. Thankful for the Lord's blessings in that. The key thing that the man said there, that the Lord saved and healed of his lifetime blindness, was there. What do you say about him? He's a prophet. And that's what we want to look at this morning. In John chapter 7, verse number 37... John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet." And you see capital P there. So he is the prophet, his name. Others said, "This is the Christ," which is true. But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" And so here we have this about the Lord Jesus Christ. He declares these things at this feast in Jerusalem. And the people said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." The prophet, that's what we want to see, the great prophet unto all. That's what we wish to take a look at this morning. What is a prophet? What is a prophet? Well, Brother Moses helps us out with that. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we have the description from the prophet Moses, the man of God sent to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. He gives us, preaching to the second generation before they enter in, he gives us an outline here, and we actually see, we know what a prophet is by the counterpoints that we can derive from this. In Deuteronomy 18, verse number 20, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." So in this, we see that a prophet is a man called by God Almighty to speak for God Almighty at his command. So a man called by God to speak for God when God tells him to. Okay? And when the Lord says here, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak," that's no prophet of mine. He is in error. "Or if he's a prophet, a man that claims to be a prophet shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." So, I mean, it's a serious business. Don't speak in the name of other gods amongst the people of the Lord or at all. And only at the directive of the Lord should a prophet speak. And then they ask this question, or Moses poses it because he knows how it will be. How will we know when the Lord hadn't said anything, when the Lord has not spoken? He says, if a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, but it doesn't come to pass, it doesn't follow, it's not then of the Lord. So when a prophet of God speaks, it will come to pass. When a prophet of the Lord speaks, he will speak at the directive of God, and it will come to pass. He says here, if a man does speak, saying that he's speaking in the name of the Lord, and it does come to pass, he says, you don't have to be afraid of him. But what's the counterpoint of that? If the prophet of the Lord speaks at the command of the Lord, You better be afraid of him. Okay, and we think of one of the best examples of that as we have with Brother Samuel coming to Bethlehem, to Jesse's house. And they said, are you here peaceably? Is everything okay? Everything good? He said, yeah, everything is good. And so here we have a description regarding the prophet. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 9, there's also another reference here, and this is in the time of Samuel. And it says here, this note to help us, the writer of Samuel gives us this. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake. This is, we need to find out from God what's at hand, what we should do. Come, let us go to the seer. And in that, we understand one who sees afar, okay, the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. So the prophets of the Lord, by the directive of the Lord, at the time that the Lord tells them to speak in his name, are given, many of them are given to see what lies ahead by the power of the Lord. A prophet is a man that by the Spirit of God sees the future as God has shown him. So a prophet. What is a prophet? Well, we have an idea now, indeed, what a prophet is. A prophet, a man of God, called by God to speak for the Lord at the Lord's command. One that when he does so is to be feared. One when he does so is given by the measure of the Lord the ability to see the future. There's a great warning in that, isn't there? If there is a prophet of God and that we are ever around, we should listen to him, shouldn't we? Indeed, we should. Well, in this, we want to consider knowing about what a prophet is, and we know about the prophets in the Scripture, and Brother Moses, I've already mentioned. Is there a leader of the prophets? Is there that one that we would call the great prophet? Does such a one exist? Well, let's take a look here and back up in Deuteronomy 18. Let's back up here in verse number 15 and see what the Lord says before what we read in verses 20 through 22. Moses declares there to the children of Israel, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Now Moses, isn't that something that the Jews always claimed and looked to, is what Moses said? And what our brother read this morning in John 9, we're not his disciple, we're Moses' disciple, right? You're his disciple. And so Moses said, there's going to be one of thy brethren like unto me. So Moses was a great, great prophet. He was a mighty man of God. And he says, you need to hear and obey what he says. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, or Mount Sinai, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. See, the children of Israel had declared there to Moses, said, you go talk to him for us, because we can't stand to hear from him directly, because when the Lord spoke the Ten Commandments, and when he spoke from the mount there originally, he spoke audibly to where the nation could hear him. The nation heard the voice of God. The elders that went up at a time with Moses, they were there and fellowshipped and ate before the Lord. Now, there had never been such a fellowship of man for hundreds of years like there was that day with so many at once, his nation. But they said, we just can't take that. And the Lord says, or Moses says, he's going to raise up a prophet and you're going to hear him. He's going to be like me. And this is the answer to what you have asked for and declared. that don't let me hear again the voice of the Lord my God, verse 16, neither let me see this great fire anymore that I die not. It's just too fearful. And so Moses says, there's going to be one that he's going to raise up, and you need to hearken unto him. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. That's right. I will raise up one. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth. Isn't that what the Lord said he does with the prophet? He puts words in his mouth at the time, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which this prophet, like unto Moses, shall speak in my name, if you don't obey, I'll require it of you. I'll require it of him. So we see here this one that is going to be. And of course, there are many, many prophets. There's of Old Testament prophets, we number probably 20 some that we know of, this many named and some unnamed, okay? And so there's even probably pushing 30 if we count all the unnamed prophets that are in the scripture, all of them bearing the word of God. But there's going to be this one like Moses. He's going to be an intermediator. They will not hear the voice of the Lord directly or see the glory of the Lord descending upon this mount upon the earth, that his glory and just the corruption of the world causes it to burn off with the fire and the smoke that's at hand, because the Lord is holy and pure, and wherever he, wherever his presence is, he purifies it all. There's going to be one. And the Lord says, I'm going to put my words in his mouth. And everyone needs to hear and to listen and hearken and obey to what he says. And if you don't, I'll require it of you. So I think that we see in this that indeed there is. We see in Revelation chapter 19, the book of the Revelation, Brother John on the Isle of Patmos, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this here, and this is a reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we see this point that is made here regarding one. In Revelation 19, verse number 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as a voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, verse 9, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. John said, I fell at his feet, at the angel's feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, John, you worship God. Listen, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here we have this declaration by the angel, and it says here, he says here to Brother John, he says, don't worship me, John, but you worship the Lord God. You worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it comes to prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of it. He said, the testimony, the record, the report, the witness, the evidence of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. It is the spirit of prophecy. And we take a look at that word prophecy here. It's talking about prediction. So here we see that the testimony, the words that Jesus speaks, The words that he has spoken, that he speaks now and will speak, they are the spirit, they are the heart, they are the beginning, middle, and end of prophecy, the future telling of what will be. It is the end of prophecy, the future indeed. The testimony, the words of Jesus that he speaks are the spirit, the heart, the beginning, the middle, and end of prophecy, the future. And so, when the people there declared in John 7, verse number 40, many of the people, therefore, the scripture says, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. They told the truth. He is the prophet, the great prophet unto all. We go back there to John chapter 7, and we see here, continuing on in verse number 40, what the quandary with Jesus is. Many of the people, therefore, John 7, 40, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And I find that interesting. I've said it before. Why didn't anybody ask him where he was born? But it was hidden from their eyes, wasn't it? So there was a division among the people because of him. Can you imagine the disciples sitting around with Jesus and because he didn't meet them till he was an adult. I don't know. I don't know if it happened or not. Jesus, where were you born? Bethlehem. Wow. Yeah, it was just more confirmation. So there's this division. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Verse number 45. Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? Because they were sent to bring Jesus to the Pharisees. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. What was it that Moses declared that that God would do to speak to the people? And that what he would take this one, this prophet, and he would put in him the words to speak. And that's what they said. It never a man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, he's a believer, and he is part of the Sanhedrin. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee, Nicodemus? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went into his own house. But indeed we know and see that there is the prophet. He did rise up out of Galilee, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked this question, is there a leader of the prophets? One that is the great prophet? And the answer is yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Promise from God. So we have in this, if Jesus indeed, as we know and see that he is the great prophet of God, one that was promised by God to come and speak his words, what is it that he tells about and warns about? Well, in Luke chapter 13, and Brother Stephen has been going through the book of Matthew and dealing most recently about how Jesus has been increasingly revealing himself as the Messiah and the judgment that is going to come upon the nation and upon Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 34, the warning from the great prophet, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Here the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, is decrying the disobedience and the willfulness, the rejection of him by the nation, by the leadership. And he says, you've killed all the prophets. We remember that parable that the Lord Jesus said that the keeper, the husband, the man, the owner of the vineyard sent servants and sent ones greater in authority, and they sent them back stoned, and they killed some of them and all that. And he said, I'll send my son. They'll reverence him. And he sent his son. And what did they do? They killed him. They killed him. In Matthew chapter 23, in parallel to this passage that I read here in Luke about the warning from the warning from the great prophet there to Jerusalem, we see in this book, or in this chapter rather, that there are eight woes that are proclaimed against the scribes and Pharisees. And in the eighth, we see here in this chapter, Matthew chapter 23, that in the eighth, the Lord Jesus testifies that they will be the ones which kill the prophet. In Matthew 23, verse 29, let's pick it up here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that kill, which killed the prophets. You garnish the sepulchres of the prophets that your parents killed, and you say that if you'd have been there in that day, you wouldn't have done it. But in your testimony and your self-righteousness about all that, you give it away that indeed you are the children of the ones that killed the prophets. And what's he say? What's the warning? What's the declaration of the prophet of God that indeed knows the future from God, the one upon whom there is no measure of the Spirit given, but all the Spirit of God rests upon the man, Jesus? He says, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. You're going to bring it all to a climax. You are their children, and you are following in the way of your fathers, and you are going to do worse than they. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, I send unto you prophets. We have in those words right there, we have a declaration from our Lord that he is the leader of the prophets, isn't he? That host of prophets that he has sent unto the nation have been at his directive, the directive of the great prophet. I send unto you, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets. I've sent unto you wise men. I've sent unto you scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you, upon this generation, may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, Cain's brother, all the way to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, which is the last prophet mentioned, if we understand it correctly, in the Septuagint that they killed, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Then we come to verse 37, which is parallel to what I read in Luke 13, 34. These woes, this lay at last an eighth woe. The Lord declares in this that the prophets, we see in this that all the prophets sent and that will be sent are all the host of men sent by the great prophet, declaring his mind about every subject to the nation and to mankind. He sent the prophets to instruct them in righteousness. You're doing wrong. You need to do right and well. He sent them to warn them. He sent them to reprove them. He sent them to rebuke us. He sent them to tell about the coming judgment to beware of. He sent them to tell about the world to come. Brother Tug's been teaching in the book of Isaiah. He deals with the now and he deals with the future as the Lord does so well. He takes it and it's woven in there together. And here our Lord declares that you will kill me. You'll kill me, the great prophet that has sent all the other prophets. You will indeed fill up the measure of your fathers, and you will be found to be the worst. The warning from the great prophet. This warning is they have not listened to the men that the Lord has sent and filled with his word to speak at the time that he has given to speak it. They spoke it unto them. They spoke it to their fathers. They told the word of God. They told about the warning of the future. If they would not hearken, they would not listen, they would not obey. And now here in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's being brought to a head. The warning from the great prophet. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in different ways, diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. We understand that, being Gentiles, that... And praise be to his name, he speaks to us even today and has saved us and has called us as he has through his word. But do you remember the title of that, the name of that book? Hebrews. The one that this epistle is first delivered unto is the Jews. And he declares there right in the beginning of the book, God in different times, sundry times past and in different ways, spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the great prophet. So the warning from the great prophet, as the Lord said there in Deuteronomy through Brother Moses, that he would send a prophet like unto Moses, and that they need to hearken. They need to hear. That word hearken is twofold. They need to hear and obey the words that are being declared. He said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he's done that. And he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And it happened in that day. He is the great prophet. He is the Lord of hosts. And I hadn't seen this or looked at it this way before, but he has a host of prophets, doesn't he? He has a host of prophets that he sent for that work. And he is the great prophet indeed. We want to see here also about the power of the word of God by the prophets, by the great prophet. In Hosea chapter 6, verse number 5, the Lord declares, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I've hewed them like you hew wood. The word of God coming forth to the people, to the nation, ultimately to the world. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. Hosea 6, 5, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. See, when the word of the Lord goes forth, it is going to take, and if there's sin at hand, it's going to take it and it's going to reveal it. It's going to take people and nations and cliques and all manner of groups of mankind, and when the word of God comes forth, it takes and it'll hew people, it'll hew out the truth. The judgment of the Lord came upon the nation because of their disobedience. And they are yet even today suffering that judgment as a nation. terrible things have come, and it's come by the words of his mouth. But you know what? The word of the mouth of the Lord, the words of the mouth of the Lord also, the words of the mouth of the great prophet put in him by God, are as the light. They tell the truth. They tell about the need. They tell about that there is the way of repentance. Praise God for the prophecy of the Lord. And praise God that Jesus, as we've seen, that Jesus, that his testimony, the testimony, the record, report, and witness and evidence of Jesus is that spirit of any prophecy that is from God. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 29, the Lord asks this, is not my word like as a fire? And indeed it is, saith the Lord. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, the word of God coming forth from his prophet, the great prophet, is like a hammer that breaks down. We remember the passage in the scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ says, oh, a blessed thing is it that a person falls upon this rock that is Christ, broken in contrition and brought to repentance in him. But woe unto that man upon whom the rock falleth, because it will grind him to powder. It will utterly destroy him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The words of the prophet, the great prophet of God, are powerful. They're sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Get down in there where no one else can reach but God. And of the joints and marrow. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of men, women, boys, and girls. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, not opened up and laid out in the Lord's sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The power of this word of God that's carried by the prophets, that is proclaimed by the great prophet, is a word that is true, is a word that is necessary. It's a word to hearken unto. What did the Lord say? If it's not hearkened unto, he'll require it. If you're here today and you're disobedient to the word of God, you're disobedient, maybe you're in your sins yet and without Christ as Savior, hear the word of the prophet. Maybe you're saved and you're here and you've been disobedient and wayward. Hear the word of the prophet. He will require his word of us. Brother Peter, he declares in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Don't ignore it. Don't disobey it. Don't discount it. Take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, right? Isn't that what the Lord says? Said there, I read in Hosea 6:5, my judgments are a light that goeth forth. Unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Like the Lord Jesus told Brother Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Not this waffling back and forth between the world and the Lord and the way of the world and the way of the Lord and waffling back and forth, but get solid and steadfast and sure that you're going to follow the Lord, period. No matter what the world says, no matter what family would say, no matter what anyone would say, your loved ones would say, follow the Lord. Take heed unto the prophecy, the word of God that has been declared by his prophets and the great prophet. Till the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It means and is applied as the Lord has given it. to mean what it means. He says what he means and means what he says. No prophecy is of the scriptures of any private interpretation. We can't take it and just take it and fold it and spindle it and mutilate it to make it say what we want said. But it says what God has said. And he says in verse 21, because the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Not what we wanted, not what any of Adam's sons or children wanted, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit of God. That host of prophets that we've mentioned, sent by the great prophet to declare the word of God. There's no more powerful word than that word of God declared by these men and the great prophet. This being the case, do we have any choice but to hearken, to hear and believe and follow what the Lord has said? The prophecy, the word of God, has been no clearer, concise, or louder than it is today. He's spoken to us through his word, through our Lord. So the warning from the great prophet, the power of this word that is given unto the prophets to speak, given by the great prophet. So then, what is the final word in the scripture of the great prophet? Well, we see that, I believe, in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. The final word. What is the final word of the great prophet? We have all of this from Revelation back all the way to Genesis that he's proclaimed. What is his final word unto us? In Revelation chapter 22, we pick it up in verse number 6. And Jesus said unto John there, these sayings are faithful and true. He said unto me, and the Lord God of the holy prophets, did you hear that? The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus says. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Not only Revelation, but this whole book. This Bible. The words of God. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then see, he saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Don't worship me, John, for of I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. John, worship God. That's what the prophet declares, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There's coming a time. There's coming a time, it seems, that it's very soon, that the eternity will be fixed. But before that happens, if you're here without Christ, repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Because there's coming a day that repentance will be passed, that faith will be passed, that things will be set, and there'll be no change for eternity. And behold, I come quickly, verse 12, the Lord Jesus says, and the prophet, the great prophet says, my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's what the great prophet says. He's the beginning and he's the end. We need such, don't we? Because we can't know the beginning, nor can we know the end. But we need him who does so. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie in the lake of fire that burneth forever. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, my messengers, my prophets to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Remember how the word is like a light that shines? The great prophet is that light that shines into us. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This is the words of the great prophet of God. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, the word of God, by the great prophet and his prophets, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Brother John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. The final word in the scripture by the great prophet of God. Understand, if there's anything you have not done that you should do, you best be doing it. If there is anything that you've not said that you should be saying, you best be saying it. If there is anything that you've not repented of and got right with your Lord, got right with the great prophet, the church, your spouse, your brother, your sister, or otherwise, you best get it done. Because the great prophet, who is our Lord Jesus, has said he is coming quickly, and you and I need to be right with him at his appearing. The great prophet of God, the great prophet unto all.